Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, a cinema manager from Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair. I'm a film and theatre maker based on the Isle of Mull.
And Alistair, what is this podcast about?
This podcast explores what happens when public spaces and the public meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? So it's tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, wherever people meet, linger and leave things or bits.
I found some more bits this week.
Oh God, what did you find?
It was the classic. It was fingernails again.
Oh dear.
It's always a big... Oh, and quite a few tissues. It's the school holidays. It's Indiana Jones seems to be quite a fingernail heavy movie.
A nail biting, yeah.
And Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, is quite a snotty tissue film.
Nice.
That's my week so far at Campbelltown Picture House. So our frequently asked question this week is about scheduling. And it's actually a frequently asked question that's been asked to me by a couple of members of staff this week. In a lovely way, they're just asking a question.
Again and again.
So we've got Ruby Gilman playing, which is a kids' film, playing in Screen One, which sort of makes sense because it's the school holidays, it's a children's film, they tend to be pretty busy. And then we've got Indiana Jones playing in Screen 2, which I was expecting to be busy, but not during the day, not quite as much as Ruby Gilman. And so the question was, as more and more people started to turn up for Indiana Jones and we started to sell out Screen 2, I'm getting more and more stressed because I know that I've put them the wrong way around at this point. And I've got... my lovely members of staff going, Ellen, is there any reason why Indiana Jones is in Screen 2? I'm like, I'm sort of trying to ignore it because I'm getting a bit stressed about it. Because I think it's probably better in Screen 1, isn't it? Because we're going to sell it out in Screen 2 and we're going to end up turning people away. And why is it in Screen 2? Is there a reason that it's in Screen 2? Yes. So the answer is... There's the sort of obvious reason is we try and predict as much as possible which films should go into which screen. It used to be the case that distributors would also stipulate which screen they wanted their film to go into. Mm. So they would say, as we've discussed before, they would say, we want our film to play two screenings a day for 14 days or whatever they want. And they used to also say, we want our film to show in your largest screen. Or they'd say, we don't mind which screen it is, which I'm glad they don't anymore. It would have, if they'd have said that about Indiana Jones, then it would have annoyed me at the time, but it might have helped on the day when we ended up turning. It was just four people. We just turned four people away from Indiana Jones. So it wasn't.
That's fantastic. That's actually a win, isn't it?
I'm sorry for those four people, but it wasn't a complete disaster. It was just a bit sort of, and then we don't operate allocated seating, which is something that we could talk about in the future, actually. So when the screening's sold out, it becomes a little bit of a jigsaw trying to persuade people to move on in the rows and fill up gap. So yes, my bad this week. I did a bad.
Oh, that's great. I have a question just because you've had these, it's the season of the summer blockbuster. And we talked about this before slightly in relation to your dad and, arriving just before the film starts, precisely then, that moment. And I wonder, are there any really decent trailers out with films this summer? Because sometimes that can be a really exciting thing. Like, Indiana Jones is a proper tentpole event. So what trailer goes with that?
We used to get trailers hard-locked quite a lot, which means it's a throwback from 35mm because it means that the trailer was physically... attached,
embedded,
to the beginning of the film. And I remember them doing it a little bit with, once we moved into DCP, their trailer would be on the same file as the film. So you'd have to really try not to screen the trailer in front of the film. That hasn't been the case for Indiana Jones. I can't remember the last time it was. We've got Mission Impossible in front of Indiana Jones because that sort of fits.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of adverts that I've got playing in front of Indiana Jones as well. So I've just got one trailer on because otherwise you're sitting there for
Six hours
waiting for a 3-hour film to start anyway. Oh. But yeah, Hard Luck Trailers. I was listening to another podcast, and forgive me, other podcast, I can't remember which one it was, and James Dyer was talking about the excitement of going to, and a terrible story because I've also forgotten the name of the film and the trailer that he was going to, but paying your money to specifically because you want to see the trailer. And then leaving before the film starts, or watching the film once and then you want to go and see the trailer again, so you're paying again. I can't actually remember the last time it happened. It must have been Lord of the Rings based.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to have been. I'm sure
there was... I wonder if it was... Would it be Prometheus? Pumithanus. Because there's not been any kind of... thing for the Alien franchise for a long time, because I remember when that came out, I was so excited by the trailer for that. That it was just amazing the way that they used the scream from the original Alien trailer, that and it was an absolute masterpiece of trailer craft, because it made me watch something that was truly awful.
Mary's gonna be cross with you again.
Hi Mary, hope you're well.
Back to trailers. I've just thought of one extra thing, which is KDMs, which are key delivery mechanisms. And when we get a film, the film is digitally locked. So we get the film in one drive and then we get the key for the film via email, and the two have to exist in order for you to play the film, and they've got a date on them. Trailers usually aren't locked. But very occasionally for these big tentpole exciting trailers, then they'll have a KDM on them as well. And that hasn't happened for a while either. It was possibly the first Oppenheimer trailer, actually, that had a KDM on it. But they don't now. We've been getting Oppenheimer trailers week to week because they've got like a ticking clock. They're very good trailers, Alistair. They had a ticking clock on them, the counting down to when... Oppenheimer's released, which is great, except if you're pushing it back 3 weeks and then it's not quite as accurate.
Wow.
Which we are.
No, I think there's even like standees with ticking clocks on them counting down as well in certain cinemas.
See, that's cool. Yeah. I'll tell you what else is cool is the Barbie standee. It's a Barbie, a box, you know, like a Barbie toy box, and you can go and stand in it and look like a Barbie doll in a box.
Oh. Life in plastic. It's fantastic.
I have an email.
Ooh.
I'm going to read this email because there's a few twists and I want, and you haven't seen this, have you? Because
no.
I do not allow you access to the email address in case you send people who are defending Prometheus rude emails. So, this email comes from Peggy. Peggy says, "This is a story I heard from someone who heard it from someone else, but this apparently happened at a cinema in a university city somewhere in England."
Mm.
Okay. "The setting is a chain cinema, 4 or 5 screens with the sort of labyrinthine layout that baffles rookie staff, but allows seasoned workers plenty of places to hide from the annoying public while still legitimately working." I like that. Making yourself busy in a stockroom somewhere.
I'm auditing the brushes.
Yes. "Being as how it was an old sort of city, there were rumours of a cinema ghost."
Oh, cool.
See, I thought you'd like this because it's ghost. It's a ghost-based story. Obviously, nonsense.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as ghosts.
No, entropy is a real thing. Ghosts are not.
Yeah. "Noises heard at night, things that people swore they'd put in one place turning up in another place, and a general feel of unease. Most people dismissed it as old building creaks and moans, but there was the occasional seasonal worker who found it too intense and would abruptly leave, refusing to return to work after a particularly disturbing close."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of spooky. Cinemas are quite spooky places.
Yeah, big dark rooms.
"Then the smell started. The occasional waft at first, but becoming more noticeable as the months went on. Cigarettes in the main, but also whiffs of damp and BO." Revolting.
"Oh, dear.
Everyone continued to joke about the ghost becoming more and more determined to be noticed, but management had started to become concerned that one of the staff was smoking in one of the cupboards or behind the screens."
Yeah.
I mean, it's more likely, to be fair. Stock was going missing too.
Oh, no.
Not enough to cause any huge alarm, but enough to warrant an investigation. Maybe one of the new staff wasn't putting things through the till properly. Maybe the stock count had missed a few items. Maybe someone was taking a bag of Maltesers here, a bottle of Coke there. A staff meeting was called for the matter to be discussed. Of course, everyone denied any wrongdoing. But the staff wanted to talk about the strange feeling of being watched, the shuffling of feet they heard at night, and the smell of cigarettes.
Wow.
The manager decided that a full inspection of the building was the best thing to do. And since the whole roster of staff were there, this was the perfect time. Everyone was assigned areas to cover, and off they went. A few minutes later, a piercing scream from behind one of the screens.
Of course. How perfect.
A piercing scream followed by a low shout and another piercing scream. So could you reenact that for us, please?
Eek! Eek!
Perfect. Everyone ran to see what the hell was going on. Behind the screen, which is usually just occupied by speakers and spiders, was a bedroll, a small table, a lamp, some books, a pile of clothes, and a rather sleepy, surprised, and dishevelled looking man.
Oh, man. It was a professor of literature and cinema. Oh, man.
Details after this were sketchy, but by looking at the CCTV, they managed to decipher that he had been living in the cinema for several months, at least managing to get in with the crowds and out the next day the same way.
Goodness me, that's cunning.
Isn't that remarkable? It's such a good place to live, though. It's a nice, warm, dark
place. If you're going to smell of BO and smoke, that's a great place, yeah.
Yeah, you can nip in, during the day and then out the next day. And you've got access to toilets, food, popcorn.
Totally justified, popcorn. Yeah, you can, That's kind of fab. And a justified ghost story.
Yes.
So there were no details beyond that on who he was or what he was up to? Or
No details. They just say that, just the CCTV, they'd been there for a few months. But then how creeped out would you feel if you're the closing member of staff? So every time I close the cinema, I do a full check of the cinema. I haven't checked behind the screens for a long time.
But what's behind the screens?
Spiders and speakers.
Right.
So behind, actually, I've never seen behind screen two, except when it was being built. Huh, I haven't looked behind screen two for ages. That's where that smell's coming from. Behind screen one, so there's doors that I can get behind screen one, and there's the mechanism for the masking, which opens and closes. And there is speakers and spiders.
That's a really important thing when you go to see the cinema, when the masking moves.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's a sort of ritual thing of just like, because we saw Wicker Man just recently there with you, and it was just like, oh man, and you saw the ratio come out, it was like, oh, it's that ratio, because I think the first time I saw it was 4:3 on a portable telly in 1996, and it's so lovely. That was amazing to see that on the big screen, to see, I told you, staying in the realm of horror, but to see a film that was so significant for me in terms of I just love the rhythm of the story and how it's told. To see that on the big screen was absolutely amazing, and to see it with pals as well was really lovely. But the moment of the reveal of the Wicker Man, I did involuntarily let a swear word fall out of my mouth because it was so powerful to see it up there. And I think the thing, seeing things on screen that you know well, you can start to try and judge how cinema works as opposed to watching things on your laptop, your home TV or whatever. And I think one of the core things is gravity, the sense of gravity, the sense of, all senses are heightened when you see them on the big screen. And that includes empathy. I empathised with Lord Summerisle in a way I'd never empathised before. He'd always been sort of a strange curio, but actually seeing it like this, you're like, it's time for a more dreadful sacrifice.
He's just misunderstood.
I think that man needs to die.
Otherwise, the crops are going to fail. What are you going to do?
Well, again, we can't kill Rowan. So, exactly. Yeah. For instance, to illustrate this, years ago I was working in Malta, which was a real treat. It was lovely. And there was an outdoor screening of Charlie Chaplin's The Kid. And to see the falls and that, you know, from heights and all, it was really good. It was like seeing it a new movie. It was totally fresh. And when you've got when the kid is separated from him and there's this sense of pulling, it's just, oh, it's amazing. It was absolutely brilliant because that's how it was designed to be seen. They didn't know people were going to be able to watch films on their mobile phone when, you know, in 1920, they didn't know that, you know, 100 years later, here we are, you can do that. So yeah, to see things at scale like that is really interesting because they understood cinema craft so precisely as they were creating it from scratch themselves, all these early filmmakers. So one of the things that I find really interesting, so my background in theatre is in physical theatre and mime, and I'm really interested in the notion of what underlies drama. So the classic notion of drama is conflict. There's another way of looking at this, which I find actually much more useful, because conflict is a bit easy. There's, if you introduce two other forces, which is the notion of push and pull, and that's what's at the root of all drama, is like this sense of push and pull between two or more points, or even one and a static point. And that's what the physical theatre, that's the basis of the physical theatre stuff that I studied was around that. And so how do you explore an abstract concept like push and pull, but in the interior life of a character in a situation? It's much more interesting, I think, than saying, and there's conflict inside their character. It's actually they feel pushed towards this and then pulled towards that. And then within that, you got, I am pushed, I pushed, and I push myself, you know, which is just, it's really interesting. Yeah, so that's the underlying drama tensions are very, very interesting stuff, and how it's represented through the medium of cinema as a visual, sensorial, sound, everything-based medium is really fascinating.
And on your bingo cards, if you've got Alistair goes off on a long rant about the craft of cinema, you can check that box now. All right. Shall we wind down?
Yes. Yes, so please excuse me if you're playing Down the Back of the Seats bingo. I hate to think we've become that predictable within 10 episodes.
I know. Well, I think we hit every mark today. Mm. If you would like to send in a story, please do, or a question or a thought. We can be found where, Alistair?
DownTheBackOfTheSeats@gmail.com.
Or Down the Back of the Seats on the various socials media, including Threads.
Including Threads? Have you done Threads?
I've done Threads, yeah.
Wow. I'm not going to go myself. I'll let you sit on top of that. I've had enough of a proliferation of social medias. I just can't stand it anymore.
Well, I'm trying to cut down as well. But yes, we were also on Threads, which I'm struggling to understand. So we might not post anything for a while on that.
Threads is, of course, that terrifying apocalyptic movie set in Sheffield. Have you ever seen that at all?
I haven't, but I keep hearing it referenced in response to Threads.
I don't want to see it. It sounds too scary. My wife's from Sheffield, so I don't want to see it at all.
Oh dear.
So I'm staying away for Threads from just that reason alone.
Oh, entirely.
Yeah.
You won't wear clothes either, with you, will you? For
no,
that
mixed fabrics. You know, I'm that religious that mixed fabrics must not be worn.
Yeah. Right. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.